Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and this late Friday afternoon, well, it's really not late yet. It's not happy hour late, but it's afternoon. I am very pleased to be sitting down finally with my LinkedIn buddy, Russ Johns with Adora Creative. Welcome, Russ.
So happy to be here, Karen. It's amazing that we finally got to connect after months and months.
Yes. I've
actually been in Phoenix now for a year.
Has it been a year?
It has been a year.
And I know we met at the first LinkedIn local event at Galvanize.
Correct.
And have you done a couple of the other ones in the East Valley with Lori and
Yes.
Angel and the gang?
Yeah. Karen Joseph and yes. Lori and the team
Sandy.
Over there. And
yep.
Sandy.
Very good.
And they just had another one here recently, and I'm looking forward to upcoming events as well. They've invited some people that I'm also LinkedIn connected
Very
with
good.
On LinkedIn, and Ginger Johnson is going to be in town, and Jill Sullivan
good.
Is going to be down. So if you're connected with those folks on LinkedIn,
yes.
It'd be a great connection.
I've known Karen Joseph for years, and I'll be seeing Lori, this on Sunday, she and Angela Felix and I are getting together.
Oh, that's
just having
brilliant.
Some girl time. So,
oh, fantastic.
Yeah. Well, let's bring in our other guest into the conversation.
Do we have to?
Well, we don't have to. But since he's part of Adora Creative.
Yes.
And he is a co-founder along with you, Russ, please welcome to the studio, Kyle Thomas.
Well, hello, guys. I appreciate the invite. Russ is an amazing connector. And you guys were just talking about LinkedIn. What you guys don't know is just how amazing Russ is on LinkedIn. If you don't know, you need to go connect with him on LinkedIn right now.
Karen knows.
Yeah. I do know. I'm
Karen
very
knows.
Familiar. That's how we hooked up.
That's like if like anybody listening, you guys want to connect with somebody. I thought I was literally like from a social handle perspective, my social handle is Kyle Connect. I should probably hand that mantle off. Because Russ is pretty amazing.
He is that. So let's
see why I brought him along.
I know. I like that. Yeah. Here, give me all the accolades. Shine the light my way. That's my job, Kyle. I'm going to do that with both of you.
Oh, my goodness.
So let's start by talking about Adora Creative and how you two came together and created this amazing company, project, whatever it is. And then let's talk about LinkedIn and how dynamic it is. And maybe you can throw some tips our way as well. So let's start with how the two of you come together and who and what is Adora Creative?
I'm going to let Kyle start that conversation.
So I'm a serial connector. I'm not in a program right now. But
hi, my name is Kyle.
Hi, my name is Kyle.
Are you sure? Because this is feeling like that.
You know, hi, my name is Kyle. I am a serial connector. I was working with a different agency at the time, and it's interesting how Adora's life cycle, because there are some people who have that may be listening and who know me here in the Phoenix area, know me from the Adora brand. And it'll be kind of exciting to kind of, because this is pretty much our first foray out there with the Adora brand kind of back. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. But with Russ, with this other creative agency, we were looking for some amazing people who were experts in their field. And we were looking for people who were both experts on Instagram specifically and then in a complementary social media platform. And not only is Russ amazing on LinkedIn, amazing in his creative skills and his content creation skills, but on LinkedIn, he is... We talked before the show started about Star Wars and how, you know, Russ loves Yoda from Star Wars. And Russ is
Yoda from Star
Yoda
Wars
on LinkedIn. Like Yoda, like Russ is amazing.
Just a smidge taller, though.
A little bit better looking.
He has
too.
More hair.
He has a little bit more hair. Well, I don't know. We're going to have to, you guys got to go see a picture of Russ. I don't know about the hair thing, but. Russ has a fantastic, magical beard, which he recently trimmed a little off. And I when I first saw it, I was like, don't you go shorter than that.
Did you see the segment? Or the post of the segment I did with one of the co-founders from the Beard Club.
Oh, which, who did you have on?
Awesome. He's going to kill me for not remembering his name.
Oh, no, bring that back up.
I know, I will. Okay, and he even sent me a gift, a beautiful watch after the fact. So I really need to look up his name. But anyway, keep telling us about Adora Creative.
So I met Russ. We recruited Russ with this other agency. We were putting together experts in the social media genre and field. And so we connected with Russ back in January. And throughout the process, and here's something that I've struggled with as an entrepreneur. When you're working with people, some people understand the concept of building a business, and some people understand the concept of building a job for themselves.
Wow. It's a different end result.
And it's a different mindset. You know, if you want to go out and you really love doing something and you want to do that every day of your life, fantastic. You can go out and you usually become an expert. And you can go out and you can get someone to pay you to do that for them because they don't like doing it. But then there's the other half of building a business, which requires processes and systems and actually creating something that if you went on vacation for a month and came back, it should be even in a better place than when you left it. And that comes with finding the right people and surrounding yourselves with a good culture. And I could not have asked for a better culture fit than Russ. We mesh so well, and you know what's odd? So we're both on this cusp of a pretty big difference in generations. And Russ is so in touch with this current generation, and he's so hip and he's so cool.
He does have this vibe about him.
You have the same vibe, Karen.
Are you saying I'm the same age as you?
No. No. You're totally
we
cool.
We probably are.
You're much younger
and
than I am.
I don't know. We can go to task on that. But we're humming right about here, aren't we?
It's great stuff.
Hey, Alex Brown, by the way.
Alex. Alex is fantastic. Yeah.
Yes. My buddy, Alex Brown. I'm sorry, Alex, for not knowing your name right off the bat. But there we go. Yeah, he was so much fun. Sent me this cool watch that just literally says the word now on it.
Nice.
I love that.
It literally just says now. That. Don't worry about anything else.
Just
now.
Right now.
Now. Worry about right now.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
So you two have been working together and collaborating since about January.
Uh-huh. Shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
We literally have a folder in our file structure called Shenanigans.
So we can drop things in that are fun things.
Yes.
Yeah. Good. So who is the clientele that you serve? You mentioned that's mm-hmm. folks who are experts in their industry and they're already knocking it out of the ballpark on social media or you're looking to help elevate them. Like what is it that y'all do to when you're working with your clientele?
So it's an interesting,
there's a couple of reasons.
Yeah. There's a couple of things that we do. We're actually stumbling upon something that we really love, and Russ is, we're both really excited. So Russ, why don't you talk a little bit about what we're stumbling upon?
Well, because I've been in business a while and I've been used to building systems and large teams and this process engineering. And so one of the things that I think is really necessary for the gig economy and what is really coming out of the freelance community is a way to build a roadmap to actually get results for a fledgling agency, somebody that is getting started out, they're not really sure how to grow. They're not sure everything that they need in place. So we're building structure and infrastructure and systems that allow us to support that mentality of going out, building their own opportunities, creating an agency for themselves, serving clients to the best of their ability so they can actually focus on their gift. And we can help support, expand that gift into an agency. So it's agency support. Mm-hmm. And so that's one area of business that we're really passionate about is building systems and processes that would allow somebody to flourish with their gifts. You know, everybody has a gift. Mm-hmm. You know, life is a gift and we need to make it matter. So if you can find that gift, just like, you know, creating a show, a fantastic show like you're doing.
This is amazing.
Yeah, this is awesome. And it's one of those things that you find out you love it mm-hmm. and you need a team like Dan to support it. And then you need creative people that are around you to thrive in it. So what what we're doing right now is building that infrastructure, sharing it with people that need the assistance, the roadmap, the necessity to, okay, I need a resource. Where am I going to go?
Yeah, love it. Go ahead.
So it's really interesting. You know, one of the things that we're finding is just how many people out there are really passionate about certain things. And they're passionate. They're really passionate. But unfortunately, sometimes with passion, we do, as entrepreneurs, we do this thing.
Crazy things.
We jump off the cliff and then we're like, oh my gosh, I got to build some kind of flying mechanism before I hit the ground. Mm-hmm. And it's that classic story of, you know what? We're just going to jump off and we're going to figure it out. We're going to build this airplane on the way down. And then, you know, some people crash and burn and some people don't. But, and it kind of sprang out of groups. So LinkedIn and Facebook groups where we participate, and we're finding so many of these young, passionate professionals who are good at one thing or another along the social media and marketing and digital content creation spectrum. They're good in one area. They know they're good, but they don't know how to leverage that. They're not confident going and talking to clients because they know clients are going to go, well, okay, you can do this, but can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? Nobody likes going and paying 10 different people to do 10 different things. They like to go, this is why they pay more. They'll pay more for a bigger agency to help them with everything. And it's literally one point of contact. And one of the things we want to do is give these young, amazing creators the ability
talented creators,
mm-hmm. the ability to say, yes, I can do that. Now, they might not be the ones delivering. We might be delivering, or somebody in our network might be delivering. But the whole idea is that when you go into that meeting, know that you can go in with confidence and say, hey, I got this support. I got these people back here. They've got my back. They want me to be successful. I get to focus on what I really do well. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to make a little bit of margin selling these other services with these other people. And it's going to, not only does it make you look better, it makes you look like an authority, it makes you look like you got your together. You see, I edited myself right there.
No. It's internet radio. You're more than when Dan's giving me the nod. Like, it's really okay.
Okay.
We had Jody Lowe on with You and Improved. She hosts her show out of our studio called Leadership Lowdown. And the other day, I think I counted no less than 25 times we used the F word. So, and awesome. Some people are less comfortable with that, Dan being one of them. Dan's like, I'm keeping it clean.
Dan's like, we're going to keep it clean. Dan's over there with the hand on the mute button. Banned.
Beep. So I'm hearing what makes Adora different. Mm-hmm. Can you speak a little bit more directly to that? I mean, obviously, who's got a file that says shenanigans? That alone, check. That makes you unique and different. But
different
tell us
by choice.
Yeah, right. So tell us a little bit more about what is unique about working with you and why this is so much fun for you.
I have been in corporate America. I've spent 25 years in organizations that no longer exist. I've had some amazing experiences. And as a result of that, I feel that it's critical to myself and my personal goals to share as much as possible. And the person and the people that I want to share this with is really the entrepreneurs, the people that are coming up, the people that I looked at or felt like or was in my 20s. You know, I grew up as a musician. I was always creating something. And then, you know, life takes a fall.
Yeah, but I think literally,
we'll talk about that. You choose some routes that you wouldn't normally choose. And as a result of that, my range of experience is massive. And I want to share as much as possible. And by building systems and infrastructure and helping as many people as possible, that's where I'm going to make a footprint. Yeah. So
it's so
Kyle's is little slightly different, but same direction.
Very similar. So I spent as little time in the corporate world as I possibly could. I was kind of thrust into it. I worked private security for a very wealthy individual, and I didn't do it for very long because he recognized something in me, and he said, "All right, you need to go use those talents." So I was thrust into the corporate world and the marketing world. and I quickly realized that's not where I really want to spend most of my life. So I started my entrepreneurial journey when I was young. And I feel I have a lot of empathy for the young entrepreneur. And unfortunately, it's a rough road to take. Usually entrepreneurs are trying to solve a unique problem. which comes with some unique issues as you solve unique problems. If no one's really solved that problem the way you're solving it, it's hard to find a roadmap somebody else has already written. It's just not there. You're trying to do something really cool and unique. And so guess what? You're going to have to go through those bumps and bruises that come with creating something new and unique. So that's something that I have a great deal of empathy for. And I love that. And I also love storytelling. I grew up, we actually, yeah. Russ and I grew up, and we have some, it's so funny how much we have in common. So I grew up very blue collar farm and ranch kid. And it drives me nuts how much time I spent on a horse when I didn't need to. I found out later I didn't need to spend that much time on a horse. We drove cattle by horseback. And I was like, Grandpa, do you know that people put their cows on trucks now? When I figured that out, I was like,
Why are we doing this?
Why are we operating this way? And it was more about tradition. It was about hard work. It was more about the experience. And, you know, there's nothing like going out and being around the campfire and learning how to tell a good story. When you become and you're surrounded by natural storytellers, and well, I'm from Texas. I grew up in Texas, and Texans are known for being tall tale tellers and fish stories. You know, it was this big. No, it wasn't that big. That's the rough thing about social media now. You don't get away with that anymore because there's a record. Somebody has an Instagram post. No, the fish was not that big, Kyle. Right. Dang it. So, but being able to go out and help someone get out of their own way to tell their story, because you get so mired down in the details. You get so into the cool little nuances that you forget that people are coming to you really, and they want a story. They want to hear about what you're going to do to help solve their problem. It's one of the most difficult things that I have when, as creatives, when we're going and dealing with a business, one of the things that I literally sometimes I'll get a little animated with them, and it's, listen, it's not about you. I don't care if you like this color. I don't care if you like that style. I don't care if you like that font. What do you want? Do you want to solve a problem for somebody? Then you need to do it and present it in a way that they're going to hear your message. Mm-hmm. It's not about you. So anybody who's listening to me right now, if you have a brand, if you have a business, I want you to stop. I want you to look in the mirror. I want you to tell yourself, it's not about me. Because you're out there to serve your client, your customer, someone else, and it's about them.
Community.
Mm-hmm. You're speaking to the Business Radio X model. I know you and I have talked about it a little bit. That's the very thing we do, right? We're all about storytelling, and the business owners who come and host their own shows, which is where our revenue is, we teach them to shine the spotlight on their guests. So it's an accelerated networking opportunity. It's not about them. It's give this gift of being and listening and let them be in the spotlight. So I you know, you're speaking our language. Yes. We love that. That's what we do.
And the beautiful thing about it is Kyle is so great at giving back and mentoring. And, you know, we're on calls all week long. And you know my book, Russ. It's like, just get on the call with me and ask me what you need to ask. It's like, well, how much does it cost me? It's like, it costs you nothing to have a conversation. It's like, if we can do something together that is amazing, great. If not,
if we discover something.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't ask the question that is really the problem. So you have to be really good at not only storytelling, but listening to what the real problem is. Mm-hmm. Because as we develop these stories and get creative, what we're doing is we're attracting people in a way that resonates with the audience and the business.
Right. So that the very people that you're wanting to appeal to are going to come through that funnel, and those who it may not appeal to are going to be outside of that.
I love, Russ has an actual, like, do this rather than that. Russ, I love how you say it. Where you talk, what is it? And you say it better than me. Attract and
engage rather than chase and convince.
There we go.
Yeah. What a novel idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so much easier when you're speaking somebody else's language. Persuasion is a wonderful, beautiful tool. And I think we need to use it more in our society. I don't like how often we manipulate. I like honest persuasion. Here's how I feel. Here's why I feel this way. And here's why I think you should feel that way. Now, you're free to disagree, but I'm gonna plead my case here. And I'm not going to do it in a manipulative way. And when you do that, when you create authentic, real communication, and someone finds you and resonates with you and becomes your customer and your client, you're not trying to twist their arm to hire you, to buy your product, to engage with you. They are already feeling it. You just need to make it easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the interesting thing about that also, and Kyle, you bring up a great point, is when you chase somebody down and you talk them into using your service, or that you're the best person to help them, and it's really a struggle, what ends up happening is it's a tragic ending.
Yeah.
Because you're not on the same path. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't, when people are, you know, like us, you know, when you and I started working together, it just seemed easy. There was no friction. There's nothing. It's like we can finish our sentences.
Yeah, we can. It's so amazing.
It's insane. And that's what you want in a business partnership. So when we're talking to corporate clients, you know, and we're doing larger projects, we want to make sure that we have a partnership rather than, you know, a staff position mm-hmm. on the team. And it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, love it. So there was a story in there somewhere you had said, we'll get back to that, around the evolution of you from corporate to Adore, I think. So
Yeah. So one of the unique characteristics Kyle and I both have is that we've used gravity to bust ourselves up.
Okay.
So I was a musician. I played professionally for years. And in 1987, I fell through three stories to get into advertising.
Literally.
I was on a billboard and working for a company in Portland, Oregon. Loved the company, loved the environment. And I was, you know, in the Northwest playing rock and roll. And I was out there and I fell three stories and shattered my elbow and my arm and broke eight rungs of an aluminum ladder. And I was a mess, and it was rehab for 2 years. Oh. And I came back, and the saving grace was that I became the safety director.
Yes.
And then created fall protection programs for the outdoor industry.
Yeah, who better?
Yeah. And then I got involved in insurance and claims and OSHA and technology, and then became, you know, an IT director and worked my way up the corporate ladder and got to the corporate office. And then through mergers and acquisitions, I was ejected again from the ladder.
Another gravity, so to speak, experience.
Yeah. Launched from my second ladder. That's happened on occasion. And Kyle, on the other hand, so he's also had an experience with gravity, which I'll let him tell about. So we both have, my right arm and his left arm have both been shattered. So it's
funny. We literally, I'm glad we got the okay, fuck gravity. Like, come on.
Yeah. It's a pain.
Yeah. Come on. I had a really bad rock climbing accident when I was 20 years old, mm-hmm. and I thought I was going to do something very different with my life. My grandfather and my father were both entrepreneurial, and they struggled. And I was like, I'm never going to do that. I'm going to go into the military. I'm going to go into the FBI. I wanted to go a very different direction than I have gone. And the universe, God, whatever you want to call it, said, yeah.
Not today, Kyle.
Best laid plans, you know. And so I fell the equivalent of taking a running jump off a 7-story building.
Where he jumped, I fell.
I jumped. I made the dumb choice. So I was rock climbing, and I climbed up for the day, and I ran my ropes, and I was with friends, and they were all yelling, you know, for me to get down. They wanted to come up and climb. And so I had a manufactured harness on, and I usually use what's called a Swiss seat, and it's a tie-on harness. You get to decide where your load-bearing loops are. You could put something on your hip and fly down sideways. I would not recommend that. Don't ever do that, anybody.
But at least you would have something that would stop you before the ground.
Yeah, I knew. Yeah. I knew that my harness was good. It was the first time I used a manufactured harness. I was actually really excited about it, and I took it off, put it on backwards, and I made a mistake in how I put my gear together. And I was up at the top. Nobody was there. You usually have a buddy check your gear. And I was just overconfident. I had been at this specific location, Boy Scouts, like all my life, and I was overconfident. And I took a running jump off the rock and did what was called a slack jump Aussie style. You go face first and you jump off and you go woo, right down. Unfortunately, my harness did not come down with me. Me and my harness were not together.
Wow.
And I ended up falling and landing, and I had my left arm and my hip my body was a wreck. I was in a wheelchair for much longer than I would have. I had a catheter for 3 months. That was the worst wow. part of it. So yeah. it was such a humbling experience, and I had to now figure out what I was going to do, because everything that I wanted to do was now done.
Yeah. Reinvent yourself.
So I had an interesting journey since then. And it's funny. So with Russ and I.
Yeah, very similar.
And it doesn't stop there.
It doesn't stop.
Really, it doesn't stop continues. There. So I came here to Arizona to move into the all natural health and all natural food production, all natural grass-fed beef and chicken, turkey, eggs, all that fun stuff. And Russ literally, I don't know, how long ago was it for you?
Since 2002.
2002.
Yeah. I ran a sustainable farming in Washington, and Lavender did a 2-year program for sustainable farming, did pastured poultry, pork and beef, and organic potatoes,
guys,
heirloom
guys,
potatoes.
Okay. So we fall corporate. We both love music. I've done musical theater all my life. So we literally there's so much resonance here.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
It's insanity.
Makes it a perfect partnership.
Yeah.
Well, no partnership's perfect. He puts up with me sometimes.
Well, but that in itself is a perfect partnership.
Call him out once in a while.
Yeah. He does.
I've been married to 12 years to my perfect partner, and it's not perfect. But yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, you know,
we're both a little ADHD.
That helps, doesn't it?
Yeah. It does. From a creative side, there's a constant tug between the creative and the organization. You know, creative, follow that stream, follow that train of thought, and then no, that's not what we're doing right now. We got to get this done. We got to get this out. That is something that we're good at working with each other on.
Mm-hmm. That I love is that he gets what I'm all about, and we can share this dream that we're building, because we've had this experience over and over again with different people. And it's here we are. Okay, let's build something that we want to build, and let's really do it well. Awesome. Well, so we could help more people.
Good. Good. Well, we're glad, as you pointed out, that this is kind of the first opportunity to really put it out there in this way. At least I think that's what you said. So we're happy to be that host for you in that platform.
The Adora
Karen launched us.
Karen launched us right here. So the Adora brand is actually an interesting story. So Adora started out as an idea to help the charity world. Hmm. And it will come back to that. So the Adora app was a mobile app that allows people to give to charity without any money coming out of their pocket.
How interesting. Does that work?
And it kind of falls in line with what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
So
big full circle.
Yeah. Imagine if you pulled out your phone and you downloaded an app. It was a free app. Mm-hmm. And you chose the charity that you love. And then every time you picked up your phone, you gave money to your charity. Passively. Mm-hmm. So
happens about what, 120, 250 times
I think
a day?
We're pulling out and looking at our phones so often. So one of the things that people are doing how much time are people spending on Facebook? How many Google searches do you do? So those companies offer a free service, and it's all monetized through advertising. So imagine if every time you picked up your phone, you got one more notification. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One more notification every single time you picked up your phone. But that notification meant you were sending ad revenue to a charity.
That'd be sweet. Wow.
So that's how the Adora app started. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we did was, as we were beta testing the app, and as a young entrepreneur, as a relative in the tech space, you know, I've built websites and I've done pretty robust technologically backed websites, but never a mobile app. And I made some mistakes along the way. And we scaled, we got people on the platform, and it couldn't scale. It literally wasn't, the technology wasn't there. And we spent too much money. We got funding. Mm-hmm. We spent too much money on getting the marketing ready and getting the team built, and only to find out, oh my gosh, our product doesn't work. So we had to put it on the shelf. I had to put it on the shelf for a while. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is, throughout that process, we realized a few things. Nonprofits, And small and medium-sized businesses often really struggle with their messaging. They don't know how to tell their story in multiple different formats. They don't know how to get it across in a simple notification in a way that will encourage somebody to possibly click on it. Now, Adora worked based on impression alone. You would send money to a charity simply by being there and seeing it. You didn't have to click on it. But obviously, as a business advertising on the Adora platform, they want you to click on it. So one of the things we realized was that
we got to get better creative.
These people need better creative. So we knew that when we relaunched the Adora app, which will be happening, we needed to have the foundation and the support for these nonprofits and these small and medium-sized businesses so that they can, if they place an Adora advertisement and it doesn't get the same results that they should, and we can literally look at the data and tell, pretty much say, without even looking, their copy and their imagery, their landing page, they're struggling.
Mm-hmm. The conversion doesn't work.
Those who have good copy get this results, these results. Those who don't get these. And being able to go to them and say, hey, we have a solution. We have a way to help you. We don't want to relaunch the Adora app until we can do that. So we're actually scaling something and we're connecting with agencies and we're supporting these small people so that when a nonprofit or a small business advertises on the nationwide Adora app and they struggle, we can either take care of them ourselves or connect them with somebody who can.
Love it. Yeah.
So it's an army of creatives helping business owners.
And the nonprofit sector as well.
It's pretty amazing. If you think about, we just talked about how many times people pick up their phone. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're worth to a charity about $3 to $5 a month through the Adora app.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if a charity goes and gets 1,000 people, that's $3,000 to $5,000 in reoccurring revenue. How many charities could use that?
Yeah, no doubt.
How many? We have Make-A-Wish here in Phoenix, guys. Mm-hmm. If Make-A-Wish got 10,000 people on the Adora app, that's $30,000 to $50,000 a month. How many wishes is that?
Right.
That can help a lot of people.
We just had Special Olympics on right before you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fascinating. That's really, really very exciting. I had an opportunity to be a panelist at the House of Genius. I don't know if you're familiar with that nonprofit.
I just did that last month.
Yeah. I just did it a couple nights ago.
Yeah.
And Eli with Surf was on. Mm-hmm. Twitch was his other business that he just sold.
Yeah.
Okay.
Blew me away. He was one of the presenters doing their pitch and for this concept called Surf. So I can't help but think everything that you're talking about, we need to get you and Eli connected because it was fascinating. Really, really cool. And if you haven't had a House of Genius
Eli's a cool guy, yeah.
He was amazing.
Yeah.
So House of Genius.
I've got to get you on the House of Genius. I'm supposed to nominate some people. So
there you go. Yeah, that's the ground rule.
Russ, I'm going to get you on House of Genius.
Russ, you'd love it. Are you familiar with it?
No.
So it's a nonprofit. It's a nationwide nonprofit. It's all around bringing business owners and geniuses, really, like if I can use that word loosely, together to share their thoughts and ideas and opinions about one or two businesses that do a pitch. It's a 10-minute pitch, I think. And the cool thing about this is when you show up there, you are not allowed to speak about your business and your experience. You've got your first name on your name card.
It's not about you.
It's not about me. Right. And so when they do their pitch, then everybody goes around the room and asks questions, excuse me. And then when we're done with that, then we each of us give some feedback for that pitch. But again, you're not supposed to give anything away about who you are in the professional world. Then when we're done, then you go back around and you say who you are. And it's magical. And then unlike some other networking events, because this is a networking event as well, just kind of a byproduct of it, they will send you the list of who everybody was, their contact information, and then you can make those connections if you so desire. I was invited by Kimberly, who was one of the executive directors for the Better Business Bureau. She was a guest not too long ago, and she said, you got to come do this with us. So fascinating. So yes, nominate Russ, and if you don't, I will.
I'm going to have to get to you quick because I'm supposed to – Kimberly is literally on me. She's like, hey. I love her. She's
fantastic. Yes. So I said to her, the best way that I can give you referrals, because you make a commitment, they ask you, please at least refer two people to us as a panelist or someone to pitch or the keynote, basically. And so I emailed already. It was just a couple of days ago.
I'm already on it.
And I said, the best way that I can offer you a reference is to have you and your counterpart come and tell the House of Genius Arizona story.
So Caitlin and
Yes. Really. Yeah. She was dynamic. Just, it was so much fun. Loved it. So, and I think it'd be right up your alley.
Oh, that'd be brilliant.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. So, let's circle back then, because we've got about 15 minutes left. Let's talk about LinkedIn.
Fast.
It goes very fast, doesn't it? Let's talk about LinkedIn, because you dropped a few little buckets here for us around, well, at least Kyle did on your behalf. LinkedIn, is this still where we ought to be as a business owner and or entrepreneur as far as social media goes?
Yes. Absolutely. And Karen, the reason why LinkedIn is so powerful is, and we could give you several examples, and for the audience today, is really about the professional connections and the way you can maneuver through LinkedIn and actually make relationships. We talked earlier about, you know, the LinkedIn local events and actually meeting people and developing business as a direct result of our connection. You know, we're here today as a direct result of LinkedIn.
What you guys don't get to see on radio is the response between Karen and Russ when we got here. There was a hug. There was genuine, oh my gosh, it's so good to see you.
And we've only met one other time. I mean, like in person, one other time.
Yeah.
Guys, that connection.
That's amazing.
Now LinkedIn is a path to that. You can do that on other social networks. Now, LinkedIn actually is pretty good about that. But that connection that was made, when I walked in and saw that, it was beautiful to see. And Russ is amazing at that. You guys
Karen
gotta,
is awesome. Too.
You well, guys I, was pay just, attention. Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing about you. And we're also huggers. So yeah. It doesn't mean that you, if you're on LinkedIn, you got to hug somebody the next time you see them.
But it's not
if
it's, a LinkedIn requirement.
But if it's us, it's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing is because of the messaging and the way that they've adopted hashtags now,
yes.
Is we could go into that. In fact, I just noticed on the mobile app this morning that you can actually, up in the upper left-hand corner, you can click on that. And you can actually see your hashtags and the following, all of the hashtags that you're following.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we were at a LinkedIn event, Kyle and I, the other day, and being able to connect with the QR code is a powerful feature. If you're a keynote or a speaker at an event, you could turn on your notification, you know, for people to connect.
And LinkedIn nearby.
Yeah, in nearby. Mm-hmm, and sweet. And so there's so many ways that LinkedIn is making it easy to connect with your tribe, your community, you know, the people that you want to gather and be friends with. And it really is a great way to build friendships. And having a great profile that is like a landing page. It shows up in Google. It's there. And the first thing that people are going to see is what you can do to help them.
Mm-hmm.
And so spend some time, create a profile that is positive, action-oriented, and people can access you with a few clicks.
Yeah. I love that LinkedIn now has, and I say now like it just happened, but for a while we can do videos. I'm not utilizing that, but I know you are. It's so,
yeah.
This is my impression of Russ getting ready for a video. Everybody. I love that. He gets really great. Is that kind of your thing, or am I just picking
He's
up
real
on
close.
That? It's so fun. And it's so
or
personal.
I'm in the car.
I don't know that I've seen any of yours in the car, but it's just fantastic. It's you, right? It's just this loving, kind, generous, and just really smart person.
Authentic. I love how authentic Russ is.
And so let's talk about LinkedIn and video. Really, LinkedIn and or the other social media platforms as well.
Sure.
How important is video for businesses and business owners to get their message out?
Every business is different. Every business is unique. And the way I explain it and communicate is let's identify who you want to connect with, who you're reaching out to, and what their expectations are. Because like Kyle said, it's not about me. It's about you and what you would like to do. And in terms of the community and LinkedIn and video is a massive opportunity because it's so fresh. YouTube's been around for a while. You know, people are used to video. You know, coming back from a radio and television background, it blows my mind every day, you know, about podcasting, video. You could pick up a phone and have a station and a radio and a television and everything in your pocket. And so
it doesn't look as cool as it is in here, though.
It's funny that I was reflecting that, because people walk in here and they're like, oh, like this looks legit. Yeah, that's because it is legit.
It is legit. There is a difference, guys. Yeah. Don't let that barrier of entry scare you.
Right. So to your point, that's how we do it. It's our secret sauce. But you literally could just grab your phone.
Yeah, literally. Well, I'll give you an example. In Texas, when I was running a radio station, we went out and we took technology that's available today, which 5 years previous to that, it would take a truck and an engineer and a backhaul and an ISDN line and everything else. Mm-hmm. We would go out and broadcast live games over infrastructure that's available to anyone. And so taking that infrastructure to the next level and allowing business owners to tell their story in a way that's authentic to that business is absolutely critical. And I get really passionate about it, because it's, if they just drop the facade, mm-hmm. the wall there that says, oh, I got to be a certain way, because your community is another way completely. It's like you have an opportunity to have a conversation with a community that wants your product and services. So listen to them, look at the data, and then provide them what they're looking for, mm-hmm. not what you want to deliver.
And it sounds like you were on that train. You were doing that, but well before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It got this easy.
Yeah, right.
That's gracious.
That's an excellent point. It's so much easier now than, I mean, really everything with technology is so much easier now.
Guys, you need practice. Before you come into a setting like this.
Everybody starts at zero, Kyle.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Everybody, just start. Just hit the button. Just start.
And the only thing I'm going to challenge you on is that we really, this is just a conversation. As Dan set the tone for us, this is a fireside chat. We simply just want to get to know each other, and then folks have the benefit of listening in. So for our new folks who come in, because like I said, we had a 14-year-old entrepreneur on with a jewelry business.
Brilliant.
She was very seasoned for 14 years old. But we've got people come in, and they're CEOs and CFOs for multi-billion-dollar companies, but they're not usually the face of their company. They come a little shaky, a little nervous, and we just simply say, listen, in 60 to 90 seconds, you're going to forget you're in front of a microphone. And I think that advice applies to what you're sharing too. Just do it. So if I could mention both Sandy and Karen Joseph, they're the ones who helped me cut my chops for live stream. They had their little thing, and I don't know if they're even doing it anymore, but it was this safe Facebook group where you could go in and you could, they offered up these challenges for live streaming, and you knew that it wasn't going out to the bigger world, but you would get comfortable in front of there, and people would offer feedback, and it was always friendly, kind feedback, but also useful, right? Mm-hmm. Constructive as well. And you just have to start. I totally agree with you on that.
And that's the thing, guys. Don't let it. You just need to find what feels most authentic to you. That's what people love about Russ. That's what people love about when you see somebody out there and they are just being authentically them. You know, you're not going to be, nobody is all things for all people. Mm-hmm. You're not everybody's going to resonate with you, but just go out there and you will find your tribe.
It's so amazing who shows up when you start creating content. And I create content every single day. I mean, sometimes multiple times a day. And it's just, and I do it for myself for the most part. And I just love to throw it out there to see what people's reaction, what can actually take place and actually develop as a result of putting something out there. Mm-hmm. Starting a conversation. It's about starting a conversation.
And then
listening to the audience.
Yeah.
It's so funny. And that's one of the biggest things that we have as storytellers. For us, we're trying to teach people to be better storytellers. One of the most difficult things, and if you take anything away from this, it's be authentic. Be comfortable in your own skin and just let all that other stuff go. Guys, someone is going to resonate with you, I promise.
Yeah. And we could have an entire new episode on the idea that my business is for everyone.
No.
And when I was starting off with my coaching practice 12 years ago, I really did think that. I sincerely meant it. Like, coaching is for everybody. Everybody needs a coach. Right. Everybody, literally. And my business wasn't going anywhere. And I worked with Steve Harrison with the Quantum Leap back east in Jersey or Philadelphia. And he's like, look, you know, he was just sweet. You could coach everybody, but then you're speaking to nobody. So let's talk about what's important to you. And at the time, it was my mother-daughter relationship with my daughter, who at the time was six. He's like, what if you niched being a coach for mother-daughter relationships? I'm like, okay, keep talking. And we built this Snuggle Deep retreat that was wildly, and won a national award as a result of it. I wrote a children's book. That was my niche.
Yep.
But guess what?
You could talk for days.
And I mean, my daughter is so cute. She just got her first job out of ASU, and I was reading her resume and her cover letter for a couple different companies that she was applying for. And she mentioned that she would help me with her, like, her entrepreneur spirit began when we were hosting the Snuggle Deep retreat with mother-daughter weekends. Like, what a gift, right? To give that to her. But the beauty of what happened is, even though that was my lane and that's who I spoke to, because I rose to the top, no one else was doing what I was doing it the way that I was doing it. Other people would call and say, so do you help with mother-son relationships too? Hey, can you help with marital couples? Hey, I'm having some issues with my staff. Can you help me with my team? Because I became that expert in that area. And then I got to obviously grow my business in the direction, still not appealing to everybody. Cause to your point, not everybody's, you know, wants to resonate with us, and that's fine. But people started coming and doing
that's
business.
Good.
Right.
Guys,
exactly.
We don't have enough time to help everybody.
Right.
You need to find the people who you're going to be able to make the most impact with.
Focus.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. 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 So we only have a few minutes left. I've so enjoyed our conversation.
It's been wonderful, Karen.
Is there anything around the LinkedIn piece that Russ, you or Kyle would want to share that you thought coming over here today that, you know what, we really want people to encourage them to do this? Have we left any of that out?
You know what? The only thing that I would leave with you is I love the listening concept. Russ is really good about talking about learning how to listen. Go out, pay attention to the people who are paying attention to your competition. Competition doesn't really exist. There's room for everybody. But whoever's out there interacting with your competition, look at what your competition's doing. Look at those people. Pay attention to them and learn and listen. That is the most invaluable process. And then you can turn around and say, all right, what am I naturally doing that I think is going to resonate? Let me do more of that. Mm-hmm. And if you want to learn more about LinkedIn, we actually give a lot of free value. So we'll let you know how to get a hold of us. And we would love to, I mean, we should do another piece just on some of the tips and tricks.
Did he just invite himself back to the studio?
Yes, I did. I told him.
I was waiting to do that, Kyle.
We have more value.
Russ is like, shoo, I don't have to just carry myself. I love it.
No, and here's the other side of that coin is ask better questions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Really easy, open-ended question.
Like Karen.
Yeah.
Wink, wink. So, Kyle could be sitting in my seat because he's basically just done my job so beautifully.
You were fantastic today, man.
It's great.
It's a great fireside chat.
That's exactly what it is. How can we get a hold of you? You both have said very sincerely, listen, we just love to come and ask us a question. So yeah. That sounds like the first way to just reach out on LinkedIn and just, you know, make it. And listen, it's not just like, you know, hey, Russ and Kyle, I want to be your pal on LinkedIn. They ought to probably leave a message, right?
Leave a message.
Yeah.
Ideally, if you go to bookrust.com, you can schedule time with me.
Okay.
And if you go to Adora Creative, there are several links on there that you can actually book time with us.
Yep. Okay. Oh, good.
And schedule time. And we're more than happy to have a conversation because we want to help people. We just want to help the right people do the best job they can.
Right.
Yeah, we had a quick conversation the other day about how there's no such thing as a bad connection. Every connection is a good connection. You just don't know when they're going to become a great connection. So you treat everybody like they're a good connection.
Love it.
So guys, reach out. You can find me on social at Kyle Connect.
Russ Johns.
You can literally come to Adora Creative. You can find us on social at Join Adora. And guys, find us.
At Join Adora and Adora.
Yep,
thanks for
like
the shirt to help me. Yeah. Yep, I love it. And Russ, RussJohns.
That is correct.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wonderful. LinkedIn. Where else are you?
Instagram. Facebook.
Instagram.
Yeah. Twitter. You can
SoundCloud. If you do hashtag 2 minute tips.
Yeah.
You are the 2 minute tip.
2 minute
king.
Tips.
Yeah. Love
in 10 minutes
two
or minute, less.
2 minutes. Love it. That's funny. We have one of our guys who hosts his show out of our studio is Joe Puz, and he does this project management minute. I think you, did you meet Joe when you and I met? He was at that event.
I'm pretty sure that we've met.
So Joe's show is called Project Management Office Hours, and he does this little, I record it for him, this little video minute. It's called a project management minute afterwards. Only one of his guests went like for 7-8 minutes after the fact, and my arms were dying. So now we say, you know, right beforehand, hey, this is a minute, 1 minute project management tip, but we can go up to a couple minutes. Anyway, yeah. lot of fun. We have to be clear about our messaging,
yes,
and help people kind of rein it in.
Yes.
So this really has been a lot of fun. And Kyle, thanks for inviting yourself back. I'd love to have you back again.
You'd have a hard time. I'll sit right out the studio and stare at you awkwardly.
Yeah, we'd love that. Hey, there's another guest slipping a lovely gift under my door. He's got to stick around, hopefully. That's Brandon again, Dan. So,
fantastic.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
For trusting me to share your story and help put the word out about the great work that you both are doing collectively as well as individually. And again, we welcome you back. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, broadcasting live from within Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona Studio. Some media leans left, some lean right, and Wheeling Business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.